I'm not sure what caused it. The president back in January, in his first full day in office, issued an executive order to close Guantanamo Bay within 1 year. When he did that, he had no policy and no plans in place for how he was going to do it or what the impact was going to be on our national security. Consequently, he had two task forces or several task forces that were stood up, one of them looking at reviewing all the files for the detainees held at Guantanamo Bay, as well as the overarching review of detainee policy. He has now given them 6 months to get it done. They have now asked for a six-month review. The problem you have with that is, how can you conduct a thorough review and have it report out the day that you will shut the doors on the facility and have everyone transferred out and sent wherever, because we don't know where they're going yet? So it really doesn't make sense at this point what is going on.
So I get the sense, Commander, that you are not in favor of closing Gitmo.
Absolutely not. Guantanamo Bay, when we initially stood it up and I was working on the joint staff, was envisioned to be an intelligence center of excellence as well as a detention facility to take enemy combatants and remove them off of the field of battle. It was designed only to hold high-level Al-Qaeda and Taliban leaders so that we could learn how they trained, operated, recruited, and financed terrorist operations worldwide so that we could specifically target jihadist organizations like Al-Qaeda and defeat them in the war on terror.
And you must feel strongly about this, sir, considering that you were the commanding officer on the USS Cole when it was attacked.
Well, that's certainly one aspect of it. I also am an American citizen and someone that served 26 years in the Navy that looks at it in a larger national security context and say the reality of it is Guantanamo Bay is a great facility. It is being run professionally by dedicated military and civilian personnel. It could do what it needs to do to help us defeat Al-Qaeda in the war on terror. And the reality of it is walking in and signing an executive order saying you're going to shut it in 1 year without really thinking through how that's going to be done jeopardizes our national security.
Well, it sounds like it's a case of something done for a political expediency or to look good because this was a campaign promise, but in actual execution it was a case of fire-ready aim.
I would have to agree. When you look at it, the president did not have the background information he needed to make an informed decision on what to do with Guantanamo Bay. Now that he is beginning to realize the complexity of the issues involved with closing it, they are beginning to realize that it is a lot easier said than done. And as we have seen in many other things, there's a fundamental difference between campaigning and governing. When it comes to our national security, campaign promises may be nice, but they need to be informed. And in the case of Guantanamo Bay, it was not.
We're talking this morning to retired U.S. Navy Commander Kirk Lippold. He is joining us this morning as a representative of the Military Families United. He's a senior military fellow there. And so, sir, what would your recommendation be to keep Guantanamo open? The president has made a promise to close it. Is there a middle ground in here somewhere?
Well, I think what the president needs to do is take a realistic look. Everyone always likes to blame politicians when they change their mind. The reality of it is, if the president had the maturity and judgment to stand back and take a look at what Guantanamo Bay could offer us, rather than closing it, which is an easy, simple solution, they say, he needs to look at it and reform the image of Guantanamo Bay in the eyes of the world, make everyone realize what it contributes toward ending the war on terror. And we need to make sure we keep it open. I think there's a middle ground. The president, though, needs to back off of this hardline one-year stance because the reality of it is he's learned more about the effectiveness of Guantanamo Bay in the last 6 months than he certainly had during the campaign beforehand.
I think in a lot of people's minds, Guantanamo Bay might be mixed up with Abu Ghraib and other less than desirable prisons around the world. Give us an idea of what it's really like there. What does the facility look like? How is it run? And how is it different from those other places?
Guantanamo Bay is a professionally run, well-administered incarceration facilities that we detain enemy combatants in the war on terror. There is the main facility at Camp 4, which was a series of pods that were built. Then you have Camp 5, which is a professionally run three-tiered facility, and then Camp 6 as well. So all these facilities are state-of-the-art. They are very humane. They are well-run. They get three meals a day. They get an opportunity to pray. They have access to legal counsel. They're given like in any detention facility. There's rewards and there's punishments for behavior. The International Committee of the Red Cross has had virtually unfettered access down there to go anywhere and meet with any detainee, including Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and al-Nashiri, who conducted the attack on USS Cole. So they are very much involved. And while there may have been some incidents early on in how the facility was run back in 2002 and early 2003, those days are long behind us. And that facility now represents what the United States does do in the humane detention of enemy combatants for the duration of a conflict.
And, Commander, what about the idea of just simply putting them in high-security federal prisons here in the United States? Why is that not a good alternative?
Well, first thing is, we don't have the room in any of our federal facilities to do that. A lot of people are talking about Charleston Naval Brig and putting them there. That's a half a mile within residential neighborhoods, and it's within a mile of major ammunition weapons bunkers. Not a smart place to be putting some dedicated jihad terrorists. So putting them in the United States is a twofold problem. Security for those around the facility, and secondly, if there are other inmates in there, these people will work to radicalize them, and we do not need that. I mean, we've already looked and heard from the director of the FBI, who has said that the drug cartels are already radicalizing prison populations here in the U.S. Can you imagine what these terrorists are going to do as well? We do not need that to be happening here in the U.S. Plus, the implications legally, the day they set foot on U.S. soil, we do not want to be giving those terrorists the same constitutional rights that our soldiers enjoy who put them down in that facility in Guantanamo Bay, or put us in the position where we have to clear the books and give all these terrorists Miranda rights so that we can make sure that they have an opportunity to defend themselves.
Yeah, I think that's another big issue is, you know, where are they tried? Some people, the American Civil Liberties Union and so forth, say they should just be tried in civil or in criminal courts in the United States as opposed to military tribunals. But it sounds like the administration on that front has sided pretty much with the previous administration to continue with military tribunals for at least some of them.
It is my belief that the administration is slowly coming around to that viewpoint, which is the correct viewpoint. We are in a state of war with Al-Qaeda. When you are at war, we as a nation have a right under international law to detain enemy combatants for the duration of the conflict. If you go to try them, the military commissions process run by the Department of Defense, not the Department of Justice, but the Department of Defense, is the absolute proper venue by which we should try these terrorists, convict them of their crimes, and lock them up for the rest of their natural lives for the acts that they've committed against us in the war on terror.